Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1 on a Friday. Joy Taylor is joining me. We've got NFL football. I can do an entire show on NFL football. That makes me very happy, Joy. As somebody whose brother is a Hall of Fame football player in Canton, Ohio, you're very happy today.
It's a very exciting day, Colin. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to have everybody in today. We are loaded. Jay Glazer, Brady Quinn, Rob Parker, Eric Dickerson. I want to start with this, though, standards. Standards. Being a number one pick is different. You get paid a lot more. The expectations are more. There's 120 Division I football programs. 120. Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Oklahoma, Miami, Georgia, USC, Stanford, football players. And you're the number one pick. I want my number one pick to be as gifted as Peyton Manning and John Elway. And if he's not that good, I want him to be as big and strong as fast as Cam. Or I want him to have an arm like Matt Stafford. I want to watch him like Jared Goff. Like, that's what my number one should be. If he can't be everything like John Elway, who could run and throw, you got to give me something that's a wow. What with Baker Mayfield was a wow last night? I've never said he's not an NFL quarterback. I've never said he's a bust. Where's the wow? Okay, 11 for 20. Congratulations. My standard for the number one pick in the NFL draft is, hey, Colin, against guys who will work at supermarkets next week, he made a really nice throw in the back of the end zone. Folks, my problem isn't Baker Mayfield playing in the NFL. My problem is the Cleveland Browns passed on Sam Darnold and Bradley Chubb, the two best players in the league, an offensive star, a defensive star, and drafted Baker Mayfield in a tiny corner, talented but tiny, at Ohio State. Hold your team to higher standards. Don't confuse standards with arrogance. They're standards. I've got a standard for this show. The Patriots have a standard for guys they pay. You know, New England Patriots, they got standards. Don't memorize the playbook quickly. They let you go to the Titans. Well, Colin, what about that throw in the back of the end zone? For a number one quarterback pick, that is not an exceptional throw. It's called Tuesday. It's called Sunday. It's a throw. Okay, there's three things that jumped out to me with Baker Mayfield. He looks small. I don't want my number one quarterback to look small. I don't want my number one pick in the draft at any position to look small. Number two, he moved really well against second and third team defenders. Okay, those guys, Von Miller, Terrell Suggs, that containment is going to be way better. That's a nice first down run like there. That's nice. And number three, he had a three and out when he faced the Giants' first team defense. Those are my three takeaways. He looks small. I don't want my number one pick to look small, regardless of position. He moved well against the second team. Containment will be way better in the regular season against starters. And number three, he had a three and out against the Giants' first team defense. By the way, you want to know the really good play by Cleveland? It was Tyrod Taylor, 5 for 5 against first team defense. Had a pre-snap read. That was an NFL throw. Came to the line, pre-snap adjustment, makes a throw. There you go. Okay, Tyrod Taylor, that's an NFL play. But you got to have higher standards. Ask yourself this. A few years ago, back in like 6-7 years ago, Tristan Thompson was in a draft. In that draft that Tristan Thompson was in, Klay Thompson was in, Kemba Walker was in, Jimmy Butler was in, Kyrie Irving was in, Kawhi Leonard was in. If Tristan Thompson would have gone number one, would you be saying as a Cavs fan, well, he's become a pretty good starter? I mean, he had 9 rebounds last night. No, you'd say Kyrie Irving was available. Kawhi Leonard was available. Now, thankfully, that year, the Cavs got Kyrie. But if Tristan Thompson, who is not a number one pick. He's an NBA player. There have been nights he's a good NBA player, and there have been series that he's completely over his skis. But Cleveland went 4-0 last year in the preseason. Johnny Manziel had a really good preseason game. DeShone Kizer was 11-for-18 in his first preseason game. Come on, man. What's your standard? Cleveland went 4-0 in the preseason. The next 16 weeks, they went 0-4 the season. What's your standard? He's a number one pick. I want you to be as good as Elway or Peyton Manning. And if you can't, I want you as big and strong as Cam. And I criticize Cam. You watch Cam Newton, size, body, running. There are moments with Cam, he is everything. Everything you want in a number one pick. Now, I don't like his inconsistency. Cam's all over the map. And I think he has to grow up. And I'm not sure if I'm ever going to get grown up Cam. I saw something yesterday I don't love. But you watch Cam and you're like, oh, hell yeah, that's a number one pick. Matt Stafford drives me crazy. I watch Matt Stafford make throws and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a number one quarterback pick. I'm not saying you have to be the best quarterback in the league. But Matt Stafford makes wow throws. Cam makes wow throws. There's no wow there. That's stuff. Best throw of the night was by Tyrod Taylor. That's just stuff. Gotta have higher standards. Colin, he looked. DeShone Kizer, last year, preseason, week one, 11-for-18, touchdown, 114 passer rating. Was I jumping for joy with that one? Was I? So why should I with this one? This one's a number one pick in the draft. My standards and expectations are even higher. Let me shift to this. Andrew Luck looked really good. Yum. He looked like he always looks when he's healthy. Really, really good. Last night, 12-play drive, 9-play drive. You do realize Andrew Luck is hoping to be Aerosmith. Aerosmith did this. Aerosmith came out and you're like, wow, in the 70s. That is unbelievable talent. That is all-time stuff. And then Aerosmith got into drugs and had problems and had a bad album and they were a mess. And you're like, ooh. And then Aerosmith came back, cleaned up, got healthy. Somebody else wrote some songs, Run DMC. And you're like, oh, hell yeah. Aerosmith is good. Yeah, never forget how good Aerosmith was once they were healthy. That's Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck has already had two careers. Let's make sure we delineate between the two. His first career was three consecutive 11-5 seasons, three consecutive playoff appearances, the AFC Championship game, Pro Bowl every year, and 86 touchdown passes that led the NFL with 40 in 2014. That was his first career. His second career was a lacerated kidney, major shoulder injury, and getting the living you-know-what kicked out of him because his general manager left him with no players. He is hoping to do an Aerosmith. Remember me when I was healthy? This is now embarking on his third career. He came into the league and was a monster with the worst offensive line in the league and arguably the least talented running backs. And he was 11-5, 11-5, 11-5, three playoffs, 2014, led the NFL with 40 touchdowns. AFC Championship game. Tom Brady could not have taken that offensive line to the AFC Championship game. Could not have. Joe Montana couldn't do it. Peyton Manning couldn't do it. 11-5, 11-5, 11-5. He was Aerosmith in the 70s. Wow. Oh, my God. All-time stuff. And then Aerosmith got into some bad stuff, didn't have good health, and disappeared. And Andrew Luck, for the last couple of years, has disappeared. Not his own doing. I mean, he can take some of the blame. Held onto the ball too long, tried to extend plays, ran around too much. He can take some of the blame. That's fair. I mean, Aerosmith deserves some of the blame, right? But Aerosmith bounced back and were as great as they'd ever been when they bounced back. We are looking at the recovery stage for Andrew Luck. And do not forget how absolutely awesome he was. He was on his way to being all-time stuff. Hopefully, like Aerosmith, he can do it again. I love Perky Jerky. What makes it so great are all the unique flavors. They have a new variety pack, Home Run. A lot of options. Listen, life gets boring fast. Try a different flavor. Every game, special offer, 40% off all multi-packs. The best tasting jerky on earth, guaranteed. I was always very critical of the New York Giants passing on Sam Darnold at number two, who I believe is going to play in the NFL for 15 years. And I didn't think Saquon Barkley, although very gifted, a running back is not in a draft filled with great running backs. You got to draft a running back that can give you 25 carries, can give you size, power, speed, can give you everything. And I believe Saquon Barkley is lightning, but he needs thunder. Todd Gurley's both. Ezekiel Elliott's both. Adrian Peterson's both. If you take a running back at number two in a draft class with eight legitimate running backs, you can't just give me thunder and you can't just give me lightning. Saquon Barkley had five carries. This is the one that everybody loved, and it is Saquon Barkley to a T. It is all sorts of lightning. He is wiggling here and wiggling there, and oh my God, he's fast. That's lightning. Alvin Kamara's lightning. Mark Ingram provides the thunder. Again, you got to pay a running back when you draft him number two a lot of money. The rest of his carries, trying to get outside. He wants to get in space. A lot of sizzle. Flashy runs. Two or three times a game, maybe four, he's going to give you a wow. But he's lightning, and lightning doesn't last very long. If I'm going to go number two with a draft pick and I got a franchise quarterback and my quarterback's 37 and getting old, you got to give me an Adrian Peterson. You got to give me a Todd Gurley. You got to give me an Ezekiel Elliott. That is lightning and thunder. Never forget this. In Big Ten games last year, Saquon Barkley, in the nine Big Ten games, rushed for over 100 yards three times. In the Big Ten. Okay. Ezekiel Elliott's last year at Ohio State ran for over 100 yards in all but one game. To me, Saquon Barkley needs a compliment. But here's the thing. The New York Giants have four Super Bowls, but of all the great teams in the NFL, they've never had any sizzle. Mark Bavaro, Phil McConkie. The number two running back in the history of the New York Giants is Rodney Hampton, who averaged less than 4 yards a carry. Look at their all-time running backs. Rodney Hampton, Joe Morris, Brandon Jacobs, Alex Webster. These are 3.7 yards a carry guys. So Saquon Barkley, he's water in the desert. He is water in the desert. You can see it. But as you get closer, water in the desert is never an ocean. Todd Gurley's an ocean. Water in the desert is never even a raging river. That's Ezekiel Elliott. Water in the desert is usually, you know, a little water in the desert, but it's not sustainable forever. I'll go back to what I said. In a draft that was jammed full of running backs, one NFL GM told me richest running back draft he could ever remember. He had a franchise quarterback who went to your crosstown rivals. Your quarterback's 37 years old. And you went with a lightning running back who is going to provide a lot of runs like this. I like him. Don't get me wrong. I like him. I'd have taken Nick Chubb in round two. I'd have gotten Sam Darnold in round one. Todd Gurley last year, Rams were 6-0 in his six big games. He carried them on Sundays. Carried them. But again, when you are so boring, when your second leading rusher all time is Rodney Hampton, Saquon Barkley, he is water in the desert, and I get it. But you know when you see that water and you get up close to it, it's always a little smaller and less sustainable than it appears.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Generally, over time, sports figure stuff out. Leagues figure stuff out, right? But it takes a while. I always joke, in the late 90s, airlines were still allowing some smoking on planes. I mean, it's, you know, generally you think corporations are pretty smart, but from time to time you look at these leagues and you're like, that's a dumb rule. Why are they doing that? The NFL right now has one thing that I think is absolutely moronic. the NFL four-game preseason. Last night, the 49ers had key injuries to six players. One of them, Solomon Thomas, a very promising defensive lineman, got a concussion. Malcolm Smith, a hamstring. He had a very good tight end, George Kittle. He's a second-year tight end at a shoulder injury. Why are you doing this? Okay, let me ask you. College football has 19-year-olds who are often straight out of high school. The NCAA limits how much you can practice. There are no joint practices with other schools. There's no exhibition games. And you'll watch Alabama, Ohio State, Washington, Stanford first game. You're like, oh, they're good. The NFL's got veterans. 60, 70% of the locker room, 27-year-old, 28-year-old, 29. They have OTAs. They have 30 days of camp. They have joint practices. You have better coaching that can delineate great, good, average talent. And they need four games? What? Greed. It's all it is. It's ridiculous. You're jumping over a $20 bill in the NFL to get to a five. You're getting players hurt. That's why I said if I run the CBA for the players, I'm Demora Smith. After 2 years in the league, no more preseason games. You never have to play in one. Okay, and I would say this. I would have one preseason game. And I'll tell you why. College football is not well run. I mean, the Big Ten plays this many in-conference games. The SEC plays only this many in-conference games. The schedules are completely uneven. You know, you can look at Washington's schedule and go, what? Then you look at Auburn's schedule and you're like, what the hell's that? College football's been given Labor Day forever, and they can't get it right. They've got 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, to steal everybody's thunder. And they give us maybe two good games. 120 Division I programs this year. They give us Auburn and Washington. That's it. And then a bunch of stuff I can nap through. NFL, move your season up. Start in Labor Day. Week before I have a preseason game. Listen, you can't tell me it takes Sean Payton. That Sean Payton can't have two OTAs. A rookie camp, a fall camp, 33 practices, joint scrimmages, one preseason games where veterans don't play, and Sean Payton can't go, I think that number three tight end is better than that number four tight end. He can't do that. Now, it's different if you and me watch college football, and then I've made mistakes. I'm like, I think this guy will be really, really average, and he's really, really good in the pros. But you and I don't get OTA video. You and I don't watch the camp video. You and I don't get practice video. You and I aren't in a room for 16 hours a day looking at all the video and the workout. Coaches know very early. You ever watch American Idol? I have no musical talent. None. None. Now, Joy at one point was a muralist, so she has artistic gifts.
I used to sing in church growing up.
Okay, you're artistically gifted. I don't have any of it. I'm a radio guy. Blah, 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 blah.
I had puberty and that went away.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so I used to watch American Idol.
Right.
Okay, I have no talent, no gifts in music. You could spot about twice a season, that's a star. And you could spot it in 30 seconds max. Then you could spot a dozen times, there's somebody who could, you know, work in a lounge, do a commercial. That's a nice singing voice, but not a star. And then you could see a bunch of people whose grandma kept telling him, you're Whitney Houston. They had no talent. And you could tell quickly. And I can honestly say I watched American Idol a lot for about 5 years. And then I got tired of it. I don't think I ever disagreed with Simon Cowell, and Simon was the most accurate. I almost never, I can't think of any time I did. You can spot talent, physical talent, musical talent. I tell a story all the time. I went into a gym in Hartford, Connecticut. This was like 7, 8 years ago. My daughter was like 10 years old. She was playing some, you know, AAU stuff. I walked into a gym of 500 girls in 12 games, and I sat next to these scouts. And I said, I looked over to court, and there was this little tiny girl, and I'm like, who's that? 2 minutes in, they're like, oh, yeah, she's the next star. It was seventh grade girls basketball. She was tiny. And I'm like, God, she's got great handles. They're like, oh, yeah, coach is already looking at her. 10 seconds? NFL coaches, if you can't, through joint practices, rookie camps, multiple OTAs, fall camp, 33 days of practice, and then one exhibition game, you can't say this corner is better than that corner. I'm not even mentioning all the college tape you have and all the interviews you've done and the combine and the personal workouts. There's like 9 layers before you get to an exhibition game. And you can't tell the difference? Come on. It's not that tough. I'm not talking about med school where you need 8 years to qualify for something. We're talking about the entertainment business. Music, right? I've said this before. I can open up. I'm not a great writer. I can open up. You give me five columnists. I can read all their columns and go, that's the best writer. That's the worst writer. Then you and I can argue. Give me a second column to tell who's second, third, fourth. But I can tell good and bad really quick. It's actually easier to see bad than good, you know. I mean, great can be hard. You can argue good to great. Bad's bad and it's easy. Average is average and it's easy. You and I can argue over very good and great. You can argue over that. But by the way, both very good and great would make your roster. You're not arguing over awful. You spot him early. Average, he's out of camp. This stuff is, I'm watching that game last night. Kyle Shanahan wanted that game to end.
I bet if you got most coaches in a room, they would tell you they don't need this many preseason games or want this many preseason games. It's partly, we've done it this way for so long, why change it? And partly because they make money on preseason games.
Yeah, that last part. So you can spot musical talent as well.
Well, sure. I mean, the greatest at everything, at anything, will stick out to you to
like
stick
that.
Out to someone who doesn't even know the business. But there is something to allowing young players to develop. I agree with you, that rule change of being in the league or playing two full seasons.
You just don't play
like
preseason anymore. You're out.
Help, but it's likely not going to change because the NFL makes money on these games.
It's very frustrating.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So I watched Lamar Jackson yesterday. And my reservations about Lamar were always that he had the best offensive coach, in my opinion, in college football in Bobby Petrino. And still, if you look at his college career, was never a guy that could complete 60% of his throws. That didn't matter in the 70s, 80s, 90s in the NFL. But the NFL now is a precision league where they want you to complete 64, 65%. Some guys like Drew Brees have Sundays they complete over 70%. Today's NFL is different. It's bubble screens, it's precision, it's pre-snap, there's no huddles. It is a different sport. Lamar Jackson is an NFL player. He's got a long way to go. I don't believe he'll ever be an elite sit-in-the-pocket throw guy. I just don't see it. He'll never be a guy that has no running game, and everybody knows they have no running game, and he can just drop back and throw 42 times a game and complete 29 to 32. That's not his game. He's not going to need a great offensive line. He's not, because he can change that pocket and leave it whenever he wants. I do think he needs a real running game so he can throw on second and four, third and two. That's play action. That frees his linebackers. He's going to need real running back help. And I also think he's going to need a big receiver or two to help him on jump balls because he's not that accurate a thrower. I worry about... He does give you wow moments. That run you're watching right there is a wow moment. Baker Mayfield didn't give me a wow moment last night. The one quarterback that get their two quarterback, Josh Allen, by the way, in Buffalo, had a wow throw to the corner of the end zone that was a rocket. That was a wow moment. Lamar had a run. That was a wow moment. Baker was fine, which is what I said yesterday. He'll be fine because I think he's going to be fine in the NFL. He's going to be a little better than Case Keenum. That's what he is. That's his ceiling. But with Lamar, I think you have to be realistic. He's going to start before he's ready because he's flashy and fun, and it's a proud city in Baltimore, and the Steelers are pulling away from him. And just like Denver with Kyle Orton, you know, once the Raiders or the Chiefs start pulling away or rivals start pulling, the town gets restless. And, I mean, Lamar last night was 7 for 18. Flacco was perfect. Flacco's had a great camp. He's been a Super Bowl MVP. He's 10-5 in playoff games. Flacco's had a great camp. He had one drive. He looked great. He was perfect. Nobody cares. Lamar was 7 for 18. His best pass was a jump ball by a tall wide receiver. He had one little clever run against vanilla second team and third team guys, and people went crazy. He's going to start sooner than he's ready for. But you have to taper expectations. There is more than one way to win in this league. You do not want Blake Bortles throwing 30 times. You don't. Blake Bortles needs a great running back. That's why Tom Coughlin came into the Jags and said, let's draft Leonard Fournette. This guy can't be throwing the ball 32 times. He can throw 22 to 26, big running game, so he can throw on third and second and short. There is more than one way to win. Blake Bortles last year had a great defense and a great running game. Ah, he won 10 games. That's the way he can win. Now, I think eventually you got to move beyond Blake Bortles if you want to win Super Bowls, because you have to get a quarterback. If you really get the right franchise quarterback, like Brady, like Rodgers, like Matt Ryan, they can win 10 games when everything's not perfect. Tim Tebow won 6 straight games when the defense was great. The kicking game was amazing with Matt Prater. Tebow won 6 straight games. Lamar can win games and consecutive games, but I don't think he's going to have to be, they're going to have to build this puppy right around him. Give him tall receivers who can go up and catch it. Give him a running game and let him wiggle. Don't take the wiggle away from him. That's what he is. He had a run last night. He made several guys miss. But this is not going to be Eli Manning sitting in the pocket. It's not going to be Brady. Alex Smith, you got to give Alex certain gifts or it's not going to work. You got to give Bortles certain gifts or it doesn't work. You had to give Tebow virtually every gift to make it sort of work. With Lamar, give him a running game. Let him wiggle a little. Tall receivers. He can win. He's not ready yet. But it's not going to matter because I'll tell you one thing. I put games on. I could have chosen from all those games last night. I wanted to watch Lamar Jackson. He has I want to watch him quality.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Jay Glazer is doing his annual training camp tour. Last week, our Fox NFL insider was at the Rams, the Cowboys, the Browns, the Eagles, and the Steelers. And Jay Glazer is joining us now from New York. What was the most impressive camp, Jay, last week that you stepped foot into?
No, I think it was actually the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just the way they are. It's like they are having one step away from major sparring every single day. But they're just crisp. I had Randy Couture come with me. We just went from the Browns, where we trained them for a month this offseason, to the Steelers, and the way, you have a young team in the Browns, the way they run it, the Steelers are just, man, they got it down to a science, and it's just, they just have a different atmosphere, and I think it's a different atmosphere this year, too, than it's been in the last 5 years. There's just, I don't know what it is, there's something different about that team, but they were the crispest team that I've seen, if that's a word.
Yeah, you train, by the way, Baker Mayfield, and I've heard he's a gamer. What did you make of him, the guy?
Stud. Our stuff is hard, man. It's mixed martial arts. It's not for everybody. We did for the Saints last year from the start of training camp to the start of the season. We just worked on their body language. We worked on their violence. We worked on their hands, their hips, their head, their heart. It's different. In order to excel in something, you got to find something that's different than the rest of the world. And it's scary. And I sent in guys like Chuck Liddell and Randy Couture and Jay Herron. Forget me, man. I'm just a little 5'7" Jewish guy. Those are some bad SOBs. And the very first day, Baker walks up and goes, "Ooh, I get to do this? Oh, man, I'm in." It was his first day of OTAs. And it wasn't, or maybe his first week, but instead of being intimidated, he walked right up. He said, "Hey, I'm in." And you could tell right off the bat, too, he doesn't, some of these first-round picks or first picks, they come in there, they don't want to be hazed, they don't want to go through the rookie process. He's all for it. I was so impressed by him. But, Colin, when you see him in practice and when you see him on the move, when you see him throw on the move, I haven't seen something like that in a while. He's rare.
When Jay Glazer's joining us, I'm going to wait to see it. Deshaun Kizer had a great opening game last year with the Browns. I'm on hold. I got to wait to see it because they were 4-0 last year in the preseason. Now, the Dallas camp is...
But remember, I'm not talking about games. I'm talking about what I saw in OTAs. We were there for a while. So we got to see him up close, and it was just, he's just different. And I think he's going to understand what it takes to be a stud in this league. I think he's going to understand, and everybody talked to the Browns realized he's not. A lot of guys come in, and they think, "Hey, I was successful in college, and what got me to be successful in college is going to work in the NFL," and that's a fallacy. That doesn't work. When you get to this level, it's a completely different game than college. The way your work ethic is, the way you spend your day, you now have to account for all 24 hours of your day, and there's no school, there's nobody telling you what to do. Like, you have to be a grown-up here and figure out how to be a professional and better than everybody else. Everybody on our team already agrees. Like, he comes in with a different mindset.
You know, the Rams were really good last year. Yep. And they got some young players, but they bring in Ndamukong Suh, Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters. Andy Reid's a pretty tolerant guy. He couldn't take it anymore, so he gave away basically a $1.7 million corner who's as good as anybody in the league. He gave him away. And I look at the Rams, and the coach is still young. Jared Goff is still young.
Burley's still young.
Yeah, I mean, what do you make of the camp? What do you make of what they did? Does it all fit?
I think they're going for it. You know, you and I talked about it earlier in the offseason. The Eagles went out and kind of played fantasy football roulette, right? And they did something that, you know, teams, you know, thought they couldn't do anymore. The Rams, they followed suit. The Rams looked at it like they're so close. We're going to go out and bring in these other building blocks, but they also have something that other teams don't have, and that's Sean McVay. And they got a guy they believe can, you know, corral anybody and connect with everybody from Wade Phillips down to Andrew Whitworth down to Marcus Peters down to whoever the youngest guy on that team is. You know, he just connects with everybody, and he does it in a way where he shoots you straight. And that's, you know, when you're a coach in this league, it's really about you spend 10% of your time on 90% of your roster and the other 90% of your time on 10% of your roster. And, you know, with those personalities in there, you got to hope that he doesn't have to spend an awful lot of time on them, that locker room will be able to police itself.
You were also at the Cowboys camp, which was kind of a little bit chaotic last year. And now does it feel like you, it is more Dak Prescott's room? It's his
team. I feel
team.
Like, as odd as this is, as crazy as it sounds, the Dallas Cowboys are like under the radar, which they're never under the radar. They're the Dallas Cowboys, but they really are. There's no chaos over there. There's no, obviously last year you had Zeke and everything. They're kind of almost trying to find their way. Who are our receivers? Who are our pass rushers going to be? They're basically going back to football. And that's why I say they're a little bit flying under the radar. They're not mired in a million controversies.
Yeah.
Even with the Dez thing that happened a few weeks ago, when Stephen Jones was misquoted, something like that in the past would have lived on for weeks with the Dallas Cowboys. Here it just moved on. It was done the next day.
I think both of us like Chris Ballard, the GM. And listen, he in the draft, he went and fixed that offensive line, the interior of the offensive.
Oh, did he ever.
Yeah, I mean, he got really good.
That is a bad man right there.
Yeah, and so I watched Andrew Luck last night, and Brady Quinn said earlier he didn't quite on the deep stuff quite have the zip. I'm not going to make that call. But give me a sense of the anxiety they've dealt with for the last 15 to 18 months. What are they, you know, are they nervous when they wake up today? Are they thinking, God, is Andrew Luck sore? We got to keep him to 65 practice throws. What's going on with them right now?
Yeah, I would think that they'd wake up today saying, oh, man, hopefully let's just keep it going because, you know, the contract that they gave him, I said this on your show, I revealed this last time I went on, they can't get out of the contract. And if he doesn't play, kind of messes up their entire roster. They can't go out and, you know, they have Brissett there, which is a great move, but, you know, he's your franchise quarterback, and you need him to rebound now. And I think for Andrew, too, he hit a point where he said, okay, that's it, no more. I'm now going to start working. No more surgeries. I'm going to start coming back. Like, I think he just got frustrated also. But, yeah, considering what they've been through with his shoulder, with his sternum, with the elbow, with the tricep, you're horrified that, you know, Murphy is going to break out that law again.
Yeah. You know the Baltimore people real well. You know, I've always called Lamar Jackson more of a project than a prospect. I mean, to me, Josh Rosen's a prospect. He can play this year. And, you know, I think with Lamar sometimes, let's not rush him. Like he's raw to me. I do think potentially with a running game and the right support, he can work. But some guys take longer in every industry to get there. What do you make?
No, I don't think they're rushing him. I think what happens is, look, we look at preseason, and they play all these guys that are their projects, you know, and people automatically assume, oh, my gosh, this guy got this amount of reps, and that guy got this, and no, don't worry about that. Joe Flacco is the quarterback. He's the quarterback. Now, are they going to try and show certain things in camp to get film on them so defensive coordinators maybe have to prepare for that when they play them? Absolutely. Are they going to try to get him more reps as they go along to, you know, look, we saw last year with the Eagles, your backup quarterback, the second most valuable position on that team. We saw with the Cowboys when Dak's rookie year. They've got to make sure that they have a viable person to step up if Flacco gets hurt. But with that said, yeah, it's not – I don't think they're looking at Lamar right now as, okay, he's going to start this year. I think the rest of the world got really excited because of who he is and his pedigree, and we thought that, and they wanted to jam him right in there. But that's not the reality of the NFL.
Yeah, it's not. So you're heading to the Falcons. I've got them in the NFC Championship. Saints.
You do?
Yeah, you know
what? Tell me why.
Because I think their offensive line now, everybody talks about the Cowboys and the Eagles – but the Falcons and the Saints have developed really nice offensive line. I think Sark's in his second year. This organization, I got a coach I like, a GM I like, a quarterback I like, an offensive line I like. And I got to tell you something. Last year, they came within a play, Jay, a Julio Jones corner play of beating Philly on the road. And they would have faced Minnesota, and Minnesota was coming off that win over New Orleans.
Right.
I think if they win the Philly game, which they were a play away. By the way, that Philly offense steamrolled Minnesota and New England. They didn't move the ball up and down the field on Atlanta. I like the Falcons this year.
Think about the job that Dan Quinn did. How many people could recover from what happened in the Super Bowl and it constantly being talked about, and somehow you have to mourn and come back from it and yet still talk about it, even though they're going to say, hey, we're not talking about it anymore. You don't decide when you stop talking about it. The world decides when they stop talking about it. I think it was the best coaching job Dan Quinn's ever done.
Yeah.
Because you had to deal with something that was, oh my God, it was so hard. It hurts your football soul so much, right, to what happened with them with the New England Patriots. And for him to get that noise somehow out of there. And like you're saying, also the offensive coordinator, they just didn't seem like they were in rhythm last year, and everybody very quickly wanted to fire bullets at them. I think with another year here, like I said with the Cowboys, there's not a lot of bad noise surrounding the Atlanta Falcons now.
Yeah.
But I think it was Dan Quinn's. He played a better psychologist last year than any psychologist I've ever been to in my life. And Colin, you know me, I got about 19 personalities. I've been to a lot of therapists.
Yes.
He did a great job.
He did. I really like Atlanta. People down in the South think I don't like Atlanta, but I just feel like it's coming all together this year. And I really think in their own division, we're all caught up in the Saints young stars, and Cam's always interesting, and the Jameis suspension. And even in their own division, they're a little bit under the radar.
Yep.
Really like them. And Jay Glazer, keep going. Love to have you on the show. He's at the Giants, Falcons, Saints, Texans. Have a lot of fun, bud.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, man.
After almost 3 hours, Colin apparently hasn't gotten to the point yet. Quit holding out on us, Cowherd. It's the best for last.
So I was just looking. Everybody always says, okay, Tom Brady's wife's rich. Who cares what he makes? But it is pretty absurd if you put it in the context of what's he make compared to other professional athletes. So let's look at the quarterback salaries for the upcoming season. And I don't think most of you are – Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the highest paid quarterback at $42.5 million. He's Tom Brady's backup 6 months ago. Alex Smith, who on his best day is not Tom Brady, makes $40 million. Matt Ryan's damn good. He'll make $29.5 million. And Drew Brees, $27 million, a little underpaid. I'm not against anybody making any money, but let's scroll down now and look at where Tom Brady figures in the NFL's hierarchy of quarterback salaries. And if you scroll down here, you find out that Tom Brady is barely making more than Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills, who's going to make 13.6, and in fact 13.965, and Brady makes 15, makes less than Philip Rivers. It's pretty remarkable, right? But I know what you're saying, Colin. His wife is a supermodel. But does Tom Brady, when you look at annual salary compensation, and he's making 15, and Garoppolo is making almost three times more, and Alex Smith is making 2.5 times more, does it not bother him at some level? He's a guy. We're judged by professional careers, net worth, blah, blah, blah. In fact, if you kind of look comparatively where Tom fits in the NFL, he's making basically the same amount of money as Sam Bradford and Tyrod Taylor. Now, again, this is why I've always said, I understand Tom not wanting to be the highest paid player, but I think he's taking a greater sacrifice than people expect. If my wife was rich, maybe I wouldn't have to be the highest paid sportscaster, but I'd want to be making significantly more than the overnight guy on ESPN radio. That's essentially what Brady's getting paid like. Put this in another context. Let's compare him to the NBA. Tom Brady in the NBA would rank behind Damari Carroll and Timofey Mozgov, and Brady's salary would be tied for the 76th highest in the NBA. I'm not saying he has to be the highest paid guy. He's not even the average paid guy, NBA or NFL. So I do think it is more substantial than people say. That's our best for last today. Put it in that context. First of all, Alex Smith has a great agent. I like Alex Smith. $40 million for Alex Smith is a lot of money. That is a look at what Alex Smith will make in the NFC East, $40 million, and what Dak Prescott makes for the Cowboys, a bigger brand. What does Dak make this year? Is he still making about $1 million a year? I'm not even sure if he makes $1 million a year.